Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. Remember, you can find the podcast on Spotify. Support the show if you like what we're doing, and you can find us over on YouTube and really anywhere else you listen to your favorite podcasts. Perry, somehow we are already in week four of the season. It feels like it's just kind of flying by. And it's the first divisional game for the Packers. Feels like it's happening very late this year. Normally it's, you know, the first or second game of the year. Sometimes it's the opener in recent memory. So yeah, Packers, Vikings sitting atop the NFC North. Vikings undefeated through 3 weeks. Coming to Lambeau Field, and maybe Jordan Love is back. There's a lot to talk about for this one.
There is a lot to talk about, because when you looked at the schedule, you didn't necessarily circle this one as a big game. And then all of a sudden the Vikings come out this season looking like kind of a top dog in the NFC. And so this is a big matchup now, very big matchup for the Packers. And I do think Jordan Love will be back. It seems like he is getting incrementally better. He is practicing, still limited, but he is practicing. And he was almost ready to go against the Titans, and I'm glad that they gave him an extra week. They clearly didn't need him. So we will see. We will see. But I'm going into this week under the assumption that it's going to be Jordan Love under center.
Yeah, and I think that if Jordan Love is under center, this offense probably looks pretty different, because this is a Vikings team that is really, really stout against the run, and they're a lot more vulnerable to the pass. And, you know, I think what we've seen out of Malik Willis, we obviously saw that he can throw the ball, did really well against the Titans last Sunday. But if you're talking about airing it out against a defense, you obviously want Jordan Love to be the one that's out there and not Malik Willis. So this is super stout Vikings defense. They're only getting up 10 points a game. So, you know, they really toughen up in the red zone. They're like second in attempts and yards per attempt in the run game, but more vulnerable against the pass. They're dead last in passing attempts. So teams are really trying to throw the ball against the Vikings. And you could argue maybe it's because they're down, because the Vikings have, you know, been leading in a lot of their games and playing from the lead. So teams are kind of airing it out against them. But yeah, really tough to run against, which contrasts well with the Packers team that is first in the league in yards and attempts.
Yeah, I think Brian Flores and this defense would be Malik Willis's toughest competition thus far by a mile. He's putting some of the better offenses in a tizzy. We looked at the schedule, and they've beaten both the 49ers and the Texans in the weeks previous to this. So two offenses that you think of as some of the better offenses in the league. He really, he is known, I have read, to put good quarterbacks to mess with their heads. His coverages and his disguises really just confuse quarterbacks who just like don't understand how to read defenses. And now he was their defensive coordinator last season, correct? So we have seen Jordan Love carve up Brian Flores's defenses in the past, and Matt LaFleur seems to have had answers for this defense in the past. So we will talk about what we think those answers will be. But he did have some very complimentary things to say about Matt LaFleur this week. He said that we certainly got one of the best coming up as far as offensive coordinators. I've had my share of tough days against LaFleur and his offenses dating back to when he was in Tennessee. So he knows, he said he's about to take on, quote, one of the best in Packers coach Matt LaFleur. So he knows that this is a tough competition for himself as well. I think it's going to be really fun to watch Vikings defense versus Packers offense. And you said it certainly bodes better for the Packers if it's Jordan Love at the helm with the full playbook available. I feel much worse about this game if he, for whatever reason, has a setback and can't go, and it's Malik Willis.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, it's worth noting, like, the Packers lead the league in turnover differential. They're plus seven, but the Vikings are plus two. They've had two takeaways in every game so far this season, too. And Malik Willis had played very cleanly in Love's absence, but I think that that's going to be another really key factor on Sunday. I don't want to see guys feel like they have to start pushing things and forcing things, because I think that's where these mistakes are going to happen. The Texans had 38 rushing yards against the Vikings defense, which is just crazy to me. They've got Joe Mixon, obviously, who I know has been kind of dealing with like lingering injuries. But Damon Pierce is there. They've got a nice backfield, but this Vikings defense is just, you know, really monstrous. They've got three guys that have three or more sacks already. Jonathan Grenard came over from the Texans. He has four sacks already for them. Patrick Jones has four sacks for them. So protecting Jordan Love, especially if we know he's probably not going to be as mobile as he normally would be in these kind of situations to be able to escape and evade pressure, the Packers O-line needs to have a really big day, or it could get ugly really fast.
Yeah. And I mean, so far they have done a very good job of protecting their quarterback. They haven't given up a ton of QB hits or pressures. And they kept Malik Willis clean so far. I mean, it helps that Malik Willis can escape the pocket and use his legs. Jordan can do that as well on a normal day. I don't know how much of that is going to be available to him if his knee is still bothering him. Right. So to your point, again, just a little bit extra of needing to protect him because the mobility may not be at 100%. But there's a counter to this, right, is the quick game, the quick passing game, getting the ball out fast, which is something that this offense is very good at. It's something that Matt LaFleur is very good at calling and is easily to their disposal, no matter who is under center, quite frankly.
Yeah, and Jaden Reed, you know, the dope sheet had something about how he had like one of the most prolific seasons in a debut against the Vikings, just the amount of yards he put up and the scores in his two games against the Vikings last season. I think he, you know, we've seen it through a couple weeks, and we can talk about maybe it's Josh Jacobs, whoever you want to call it. Jaden Reed to me feels like the key to the Matt LaFleur offense. Like everybody has their role, but he's really the thing that can make it go. And we've seen guys have their moments, but Jaden Reed is kind of consistently the guy so far. And he's had 5 rushing attempts, 1 for a touchdown and 4 for first down. So he's got like a 100% success rate when he's rushing the ball, and he's averaging like 17.8 yards a carry when he's given the ball. So obviously pretty sparingly, it's only been 5 times in 3 games, but those are the kinds of things when you talk about the quick game, that's how they're going to need to, I think, attack this Vikings defense, because Blake Cashman, their inside linebacker, is playing really, really well this season. So I'm not sure that the traditional run lanes that we saw are going to be there, but you know, I guess a counterpoint to that is nobody runs on the Titans defense until Josh Jacobs did. So we'll see if they're able to run on this Vikings defense that has been really stout up to this point.
Yeah. And so has Andrew Van Ginkle. Both of their linebackers have been playing, I think, really good ball so far this season, much to everyone's surprise, I think. But you mentioned it earlier, and so I want to talk about it a little bit more, is that the weakness, if there has been a weakness for this very, very good Vikings defense, has been their secondary. There is the ability to pass on this team. And with the way that these Packers pass catchers have been looking, I feel really confident that Matt LaFleur and whoever is under center, better if it is Jordan Love, will be able to scheme up some things. Like, right, it's Stephon Gilmore and Shaquille Griffin at corner and Harrison Smith, who we love but is aging, Cameron Bynum and Byron Murphy. So not a secondary that you necessarily are too afraid of. Now again, you have to give a lot of credit to Brian Flores for what he's able to call and some of like the coverages, right, that he calls and his ability to use the players that he has. But Matt LaFleur's counterattack, I think, is going to be huge.
Yeah. And I think that's also where you want a guy like Jordan Love, who has seen it a little bit more. You know, if we're talking about disguised looks, Malik Willis could do it, you know, but you're going to feel a lot better if it's your $55 million quarterback that's out there and making those reads and making those adjustments. So we'll see. You know, he's still limited in practice, but it sounds like he should be good to go. He's getting really close. But I think that would go a long way on Sunday. So let's flip it and talk about this Packers defense, because just like we said, the Vikings had a prolific defense. Their offense is also third in the league, and they're putting up, you know, Sam Darnold looks like an MVP frontrunner, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's got career highs in passer rating and completion percentage. Just, yeah, playing very, very well with the arsenal of weapons that Minnesota has.
It's pretty wild. I mean, look, good for Sam Darnold, right? I think we can have a long discussion around fit and confidence and where you land and all of that and what that means. And he's bounced around and been given up on, et cetera, et cetera. And if this is where he landed and what it took for him to, you know, find his groove, then great, good for Sam Darnold, not good for the Packers. He also has a plethora of weapons at the moment at his disposal, probably the best wide receiver in the league. A two who is may or may not be playing in Jordan Addison, right? He's limited in practice. And we don't want to admit it, but an Aaron Jones who looks like Aaron Jones. I find it very hard to watch Aaron Jones play the way he's been playing, but he very much looks like himself, right? He's using him a ton. He's averaging 18 touches, 108 yards per game so far this season, so 5.4 yards per carry, 12 missed tackles, and he's had 6 explosive runs in the last 3 games. So they're going up against a weapon who used to be their own. They know him very well. Hopefully they know how to counteract the explosive Aaron Jones runs. But it's going to be a really long day at the office. They cannot stop Aaron Jones on the ground, and Sam Darnold is able to just pick them apart whenever Justin Jefferson gets open.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Jefferson has 3 touchdowns. Jalen Naylor has 3 touchdowns already. No Packers receiver has more than 1. So obviously these guys are capitalizing on their opportunities. We saw what was like a 97-yarder to Justin Jefferson.
From the end zone.
Which is just insane. Aaron Jones, like you said, leading the team in scrimmage yards. He's got 2 touchdowns, 1 receiving, 1 rushing already. So pretty much every look for this Vikings offense, there is a weapon. And you know, their tight ends have been kind of quiet. Hockenson not playing, but Josh Oliver is okay. Johnny Munt is okay, but still everywhere is an opportunity for the Packers to be exploited. And we know that super well against the run. They've been able to do enough contain to get themselves to 2-1, obviously, but just not the kind of defensive performance that you can have against a guy like Aaron Jones, who, you know, Matt LaFleur has said, like, they have to be ready for him. They know who he is. They know what he can do at any given moment. And the defense is going to have to really be, I'm worried about the inside linebackers, I guess is my nicest way of saying this, that if there's one area of the defense I'm probably worried about, it's probably the inside linebackers.
Yeah, fair.
At least can Aaron Jones exploit them for
his entire career. This is going to be a big tackling game for the Packers defense, like big tackling game. This, you have to, when you make first contact with any of these Vikings playmakers, you have to bring them down. We've watched Aaron Jones break ankles for years, and he will do it. And that is not something that the Packers have historically been good at, especially these inside linebackers or guys playing in the middle of the field. And they haven't been great at it the past few weeks either, especially not against, you know, prolific running backs, Saquon Barkley, for instance, or even last week. So tackling, big, big week for the tackling on first contact.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things too is like, this is a Packers team that kind of has controlled the last couple games they've played in, and the scores were obviously closer than we probably would have wanted in some of these games, or, you know, they, you could argue that they left points on the board. they're not going to be able to do that against this Vikings team that is capitalizing in the red zone. The Packers are not doing well. They're 29th in the red zone. And I know we're talking about the offense again, but on defense, they're 21st in the red zone. They're giving up touchdowns 6 out of 10 times when they get down there. And that's just not a way to live against an offense that is putting up like 28 points a game.
Yeah.
You can't get behind on a team like that, or you're never going to be able to catch up. And I think that's where the challenge lies for this defense. We talked about it a little bit. Sam Darnold is not Anthony Richardson. He's not Jalen Hurts. He will scramble if he has to, but he wants to make plays with his arm.
Yeah.
So he's taken 8 sacks already in 3 games. So the opportunities will be there. Probably not an 8-sack day like we saw last week, but the Vikings O-line is not that good. And I know Kenny Clark has kind of had a down year. He doesn't have a quarterback hit or a sack yet this season, which is weird for him. Devontae Wyatt has 3, leads the defense. So all those guys getting home. Rashawn Gary, unfortunately, you know, nullifying a sack. But that's the kind of stuff that they have to clean up. So penalties here, kind of segueing into that. Can't beat yourself when you're playing the Vikings, or they're just going to capitalize on that.
Yeah. I mean, important day to just play a really, really clean game, period. But to your point about the pass rush, that's the key for me in this game. Because yes, like Sam Darnold is really a true pocket passer. Everyone these days, every quarterback has the ability to scramble a little bit, but he's not an Anthony Richardson. He's not Jalen Hurts. He really is a true pocket passer. And you can have really a copy and paste plan from last week in terms of a pass rush plan. If the guys can execute the same way, I think you can really, really disrupt this offense. I think that's the only way. Getting off the field on third down, right? Not negating those plays that you make, pushing them backwards by penalties. We saw them do that against the Titans, and that's okay to do against the Titans because the Titans offense isn't very good, and you're going to see some errant throws from Will Levis and you're going to see some drops, right? You're not going to see that from the Vikings offense. So you need to not beat yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the same way we talked about Brian Flores and how he can get creative and exotic in the things that he calls in his coverages, we don't necessarily know what exotic is for Jeff Hafley. You know, we saw some really creative blitzes last week. It was really cool to see like Edge Cooper get in there. He's got the speed to just like blow up games. Quay Walker came in on the blitz, obviously. So getting creative with his inside linebackers, doing some of that too. I know that with a guy like Aaron Jones, you're going to have to account for him, probably have a spy on him in certain situations, but yeah, absolutely. Just as creatively as you can bring pressure against Sam Darnold in this front, you have to.
I worry about it a little bit though. I do worry. Like, yes, I do. Like, while I think pressure is important, I'm just like playing devil's advocate here because I agree. Like, when you bring that extra pressure, right, you leave things open.
Yes.
Right. And then you leave yourself vulnerable to an explosive from a Justin Jefferson. Yeah. And so it's like, while I trust our highest paid cornerback to go up against a Justin Jefferson with safety help over the top from a Xavier McKinney, I hope. I'm interested to see, I should say this more. I'm more interested to see like when a Jeff Hafley calls a play like that. Cause you know, he will, right? He will bring the pressure in that sense and leave potential open. It's just in what situation are we in where that happens? And how do the players execute it? Cause I think it could go really well and it could result in a big sack, in a big play for the Packers, or it could go really poorly and it could result in a big play from the Vikings big time playmakers.
Yeah, I think that this one is gonna, we talked about it, right? It's just gonna come down to protecting the football. And both teams, I mean, the Packers lead the league in explosive plays, so we expect to see those on Sunday. But the Vikings are in the top 10 in explosive plays, so we also expect to see those. And that's what makes this such a weird matchup. We talked about it a little bit pre-show. In the last five games, one, they've flip-flopped back and forth who's won them. The Packers are 3-2 in the last five games. But whoever has won by 14 or more points. Like, these have been very lopsided beatdowns. Whoever takes the lead doesn't give it back. And I suppose I could see how that would happen on Sunday, you know, regardless of who it is, if somebody jumps out and it's hard to catch up. But this one to me just feels like it's going to be really close. Like, I have a hard time seeing this one get out of hand unless somebody is just repeatedly making mistakes and like getting in their own way, because these are two really good offenses, really creative defenses. And it's early in the season, you know, like there's not a ton of tape on your opponent and the new schemes and things that we've rolled out, but it's also a very common opponent that the Packers expect to see regularly. So how you lean in with this one when it comes to score?
I go back and forth a lot. I definitely see this being high scoring. I think this is going to be a high scoring game. But I feel mixed about which way I lean on this game for a few reasons. Like, one, I feel better about it from a Packers perspective, obviously, if Jordan Love is playing, because you have just so much more at your disposal and your skill level and your talent level at the quarterback position is higher. However, is there going to be rust there after 2 weeks away? Is his lack of mobility is going to affect him? Is there a lack of mobility there, or is he 100%? Like, is keeping him out for that extra week, did that mean anything? Like, there's just a lot of questions, and we really haven't seen him 100% in practice. If Jordan Love is 100%, the Packers, I think, at home would win this game. I would take them. Just in the way that I feel confident in him and Matt LaFleur kind of having this Vikings defense's number and their ability to create, like you said, big explosive plays. But that being said, if there are sloppy turnovers or any level of mistakes that the Vikings capitalize on, this could get out of hand pretty quickly. And if Jordan isn't 100%, this Vikings team is very good and they could walk out of this one with a win. That's not an answer to your question at all. At all. But I do see it being high scoring.
This Vikings team is a surprise to me. And I don't know if I'm expecting them still to turn into a pumpkin or if I like genuinely think that they're as good as they are. But we knew the Lions were going to be front runners. We talked about maybe the Bears could be like a sneaky wild card team. The Vikings maybe could be like a sneaky wild card team, but you just didn't trust all of the pieces that they had.
Yeah.
And then Sam Darnold started playing like he is. And is that a true indication of him now in this Vikings offense? Or again, is this like a come down to earth kind of mid-season? We see the Vikings team kind of like the wheels fall off.
Plateau.
I don't know. And I think it's, I don't think we'll know.
Yeah. Here's my question for you. Cause this, I think this is the question, right? If the Packers don't turn the ball over, if the Packers defense can't generate any turnovers in this game, do they win this game?
No. And I say that because of red zone offense. The Vikings are scoring. The Packers are putting out, they're 29th in the red zone. And I know when you know, sometimes your explosives make it so that you don't get into the red zone and you're still scoring from outside of the 20 and points count all the same. But I think that they're going to need to steal a couple.
Yeah.
But that said, at Lambeau Field with Jordan Love playing, I'm going 28-24 Packers.
Okay. Yeah. I agree with you. I think if they can't take a possession away, I don't know if I feel confident that they win this game. Now, everything that the season has shown me about this Packers defense, obviously they have the highest turnover differential in the league. They will, but turnovers are fickle. I also feel like this is going to be a 31-28 Packers It could even be a 34-31. I think it's going to be really high scoring shootout vibes. But I can also see the Packers losing.
Yeah. And it seems like such a cop out to say like the sky isn't falling if they lose. But I one, it's week four. But two, I also I don't know what to expect from Jordan Love. And I think that's such a big question, is they're not going to let him out there if he's not 100% medically cleared. But what is he going to have to shake off? You know, when it comes, he didn't start the hottest against Philly. Sometimes it takes a couple games, and we'll see, you know, what that looks like against the Vikings. And I hate to say it because I love him to death, but like Aaron Jones historically has had some fumbling issues. So we don't necessarily need the secondary to be the ones that take the ball away. Like, this is a defense that is punching the ball out and getting after it, strip sacks. Like, somebody else can make a mistake, even if the secondary doesn't get their hands on the ball. So it's going to be, I think I agree with you, it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a high scoring game. I don't see it being a blowout. Maybe I'll be wrong. I'd love to be wrong in one direction and get to just enjoy Sunday and relax. But yeah, I think this will be the toughest test yet for the Vikings too, because they've played some really good teams, but they've also played them in their home stadium, which does make a significant difference.
Yeah. And no hate to any of the other, I mean, they played Shanahan, I guess. So they played a very good coach, but I think coach QB combo is one of the tougher opponents so far this season.
Yeah, that'll do it. We'll see what happens now on Sunday. Should be a good one. Like we said, first divisional matchup for the NFC opponent. Kind of weird to have two AFC opponents already so early in the season, but back in the NFC this week, hosting the Vikings at Lambeau Field. Thank you, as always, for listening to the show. We'll be back on Sunday to talk about it. Win, lose, or tie, which we hope, you know, it's not either of the other two. Hopefully we're talking about a win, but you can find the show on Spotify and everywhere else you listen to your favorite podcasts, and on YouTube as well, on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry_Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney, and go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.